Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Am I on this morning? Hello, everybody. Pastor Ken Russell shared something one time. He said, when God is in the room is full, right? The room is full this morning. Am I right with this goodness? And can you guys do better than that? Am I right? Yeah, all right. You guys are with me. We've got like 1,000 people here today, and we've got, I think, probably 1,000 people online. So I want to welcome you to our service. And I hope you guys are enjoying your Christmas break. What a great break it's been so far. And man, I'm thankful for a loving wife who forgives me over and over. I know yesterday, I'm kind of known as a little bit of a klutz. And we kind of went through these multiple kind of scenarios with our food. I ended up, what was the first one I did? Oh, yeah, right. I was taking things out of the fridge, and I broke our pickle platter, and all the pickles and all the olives and all that kind of stuff went all over the floor. But I'm thankful for the five-second rule. Am I right? But it gets better. It gets better. And this one wasn't my fault, but we ended up packing up the turkey, the leftovers, and Kim bought this small turkey of like 19 pounds. It was small, you know. And all the leftovers fell all over the floor. And so we've got pickles from the floor. We've got turkey. And there was one. Oh, yeah. And I was draining the turkey, like all the juice, into the sink. And I ended up getting turkey juice all over Kim and I's clothes. So I'm thankful that God blessed me with a great wife. Who's thankful that God gave you a great wife? Great spouse. That's right. Hopefully everybody can put their hand up for that. I've been thinking about this day being National Youth Pastors Preach Day, right? Between Christmas and New Year's. I was thinking about last year. You know, everybody was, what's coming up? What's coming up soon here? A few days. New Year's. Nobody talks about New Year's this year. Have you noticed that? Nobody talks about New Year's this year, but everybody talked about New Year's last year, right? Because it was 2020. Am I right? 2020. Everybody couldn't wait till 2020 was done. And everybody was like, oh man, 2021's going to be awesome because it can't get any worse than 2020. Right? Oh, man, COVID's going to be gone. All that good stuff, it's going to be changed. Hey, we're still here, right? We're still here. There's been some challenges. Our province has seen fires and floods and more COVID restrictions and more COVID restrictions. We're always on the tip of our toes, am I right? But I'm thankful that God is always there with us, and he's there to guide us, and he's never changes. I read this article. I like reading articles online most of the time, and there was this article from HuffPost, and it talked about the top 10 things we noticed about ourselves in 2021. Are you guys with me? There's a lot of great content here, and it does have something to do with my message a little bit later, okay? So maybe 2021 wasn't all that bad. That's what my message is entitled, and we're going to be looking through the story of Ruth. So, number one, the pandemic put into perspective that friendships are worth keeping. How many articles, non-Christian articles, do you see the emphasis on friendships? That friendships are worth keeping. That not seeing certain people around us have actually, it's really made us miss our good friends. Two, everyone is going through something that they aren't talking about. Everyone is feeling some sort of type of grief, am I right? Over this last year, everybody's going through some sort of grief. And people have often, in their sadness or grief, they've often complained about what life used to be like. Many things we've taken for granted, and it's nice, isn't it nice to have someone that we can talk to about our grief? And through the emotionally healthy spirituality, wasn't it good to be in a coffee group that we could just share the things that we're sad about and things that we've been grieving over this time? Man, our experiences are so different. Number three, growth isn't solely an upward trajectory. Allow yourself to grow out, allow yourself to grow in, and allow yourself to root. I don't understand that whole line, like all of it, but growth can be uncomfortable. Am I right? Growth can be uncomfortable, but if you're good at something right away, there's no challenge. So it's good to have those small challenges once in a while. Who made sourdough bread in 2021? Put up your hand. All right, just Pastor Mike, and he brought me some bread. It was nice. I tried, and I failed epically. So I probably spilt it all over the floor and got all over my clothes and all that good stuff. But during this time, we've had more time to think inward, and self-care has, we've noticed that self-care is so important. Am I right? Number four, we are learning to embrace our new parts of our personality. Maybe your spouse doesn't really enjoy learning these new parts of your personality, but maybe you are. Maybe some of you introverts have enjoyed, or maybe you've learned that you're a little bit more extroverted than you really are, or vice versa. You know, I've enjoyed. I bought a bike. It's a good to me bike, right? By the Comox standards, it's probably not suffice to other people's. Like, it doesn't cost the same price as a minivan or whatever, but it's good for me, and it even gives me pedal assist for big hills. So I've enjoyed it. It gets my blood pumping and gives me some energy. I really need to work off my Christmas, 10 pounds. After the snow goes, right? Number five is, it's okay if you don't want to keep up with the world right now. We all grieve differently. Some of you really like watching, the news at 7 or whatever time it starts, and then noon, and then night, and then right before you go to bed. Some of us can't handle it, like myself, because it just adds a little bit more anxiety. Oh man, more bad stuff's going on, right? That's why I watch sports, actually. Actually, it's a good time to be a Canucks fan, except for a Seahawks fan. How have you grieved during this time? You know, it's sad to not have my parents over this Christmas year, and maybe you're missing your family this season. Number six, taking the time to make a livable work from home space worth it. Right now, our house is a COVID schedule call center. My wife just got a new job through the hospital, and now she is spending all day working on the phone, scheduling people for COVID tests. And one thing I'm grieving now is being loud at home. I'm loud here. I'm more louder at home, and I don't know if that's the right grammar, but I can't cook, and I like setting off the smoke alarm, and I like watching TV, and I like watching, I like listening to loud music and stuff, and I've got to be really quiet. So if you have time in your prayers to pray for me, that'd be great. Number seven, I need way less stuff and need more community. I need way less stuff and need more community, right? Most articles are like, we need more things. But rather than needing more things, community is so important. I remember I was talking to a parent last week here at church, and I don't know if this parent's watching, but this parent said, you know what, my kids wanted to stay home today and just say, hey, let's watch the service at home. You know, so we don't have to get ready. We can, have whatever food, all that good stuff. You know, we don't have to travel, a ways to get to the church. We could just watch it online. But this parent said how valuable it is to be in church together. And that's probably why all 1,000 of you are here this morning, right? Number 8, pets are amazing office colleagues. Pets are amazing office colleagues. I'm a little bit jealous that Kim gets to stay home with our pet, Zoe. Love our pet. Number 9, you decide how you want to spend your time. It's been a great time to actually create boundaries, right? Creating boundaries is an actual act of self-care. And number 10, love this one. Being compassionate towards others is an ongoing process. How many articles have you seen when they talk about being compassionate to one another? Isn't that our DNA as believers, to be compassionate, to love others well and care for them? There are some high quality Jesus characteristic points in these 10. Not all of them, like the whole pet thing, but in this message, I'm going to emphasize some of these points, all right? We're going to go through the life of a Moabite woman, Ruth, from chapters 1-2. Got a skill testing question for all you Bible theologians. How many books in the Bible bear the name of a woman? Was that you, Adrian? Oh, who was that? Oh, that was you. Okay. You win a prize, okay? You win a goodie bag. All right, great answer. So when thinking of these top 10, I could think about 7 or 8 of these that would relate to this message. And how about, let's pray first, all right? Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that we can be together on this Boxing Day. We thank you that we're not going shopping, but we're here as a family, and that we love Jesus, and we're just so thankful for all the things that you do for us, Lord, and prepare our hearts for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the setting for the beginning of the book of Ruth takes place in this heathen country of Moab and later moves on to Bethlehem. And the true account takes place during the failure and rebellion of the Israelites, the time of Judges. And this book starts with this intimate glimpse of this Israelite family. And this move from Judah to Moab would have been humiliating and dangerous. But Elimelech had to move there and get away from the famine to feed his family. When someone says, "Let me tell you about my mother-in-law." If somebody said, "Let me tell you about my mother-in-law," what would you expect would come after that saying? Probably something negative, or maybe something a little crass, right? And just to let you know, I love my mother-in-law. She is so great. She raised a great woman and my wife. But when people talk about, there's people that talk about their mother-in-laws as a negative. It could be a negative statement, but not in this story. The book of Ruth actually tells this. And Ruth loved her mother-in-law, who was recently widowed, and she went through so much loss. And by the way, Ruth went through loss as well. And Ruth actually begged Naomi to stay with Naomi wherever she went. Have you ever done that to your mother-in-law? Have you ever begged her and said, "Can I please be with you and follow her?" And if you do that, just, you know, record it so we can watch it later, all right? Let's read Ruth chapter 1 together, all right? So if you open up your Bible, and I won't have it on the screen, all right? So follow along with me. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and 2 sons with him. Here is a family of 4. They moved from Judah to Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. Can everybody say Elimelech? That's a tongue twister, isn't it? And his wife was Naomi. Their 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. By the way, if you're expecting a boy in 2022, there's two great names to name your future sons, all right? Mahlon and Chilion. They were from Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and when they reached Moab, they settled there. Okay, that's pretty good so far, right? Pretty good. And this is where it gets a little bit sad. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, not Oprah, and the other a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her two sons and her husband. Pretty morbid, eh? Pretty rough. Doom and gloom. Here's some life-shattering events that happened to Naomi, but there are also life-shattering events that happened to both Orpah and Ruth. Naomi is left in this strange land without her husband, without her boys. And it parallels to the story of Job, doesn't it? Blow after blow, her life is devastated by destruction. She had married with such high hopes of her and her husband building this great family, building this great farm. So how would you feel if you were Naomi? It'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? How would you feel if you were Ruth? What are some thoughts that you would have? And I'm glad the story doesn't end there. This is a story of redemption. I love redemption stories, redemptive stories. Let's read on to verse 6. And when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left for a place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to the dead, to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find a rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Here's Naomi. She feels like she has nothing to offer the girls. They weep. She tells them, go back to the land that you're comfortable. Go back to your mothers, right? Orpah decides to eventually leave, which was her right, right? And Ruth decides that she needs to go with Naomi. Verse 16, I love this verse. It says, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God." Isn't that such a great verse? She was so faithful to her mother-in-law. Here, the two of them trekked on to Bethlehem, and when they got there, there was quite this commotion, right? And, you know, people are like, "Oh, could this be Naomi? Could this be Naomi?" The townspeople were kind of talking. It says that there was a commotion about this. And she didn't want to be called Naomi. She wanted to be called Mara. Why? Because the Lord had made her very bitter. The Lord had made her very bitter. "I went away full and I came back empty." Here's a mother that was grieving. She was grieving the loss of her husband. She was grieving the loss of losing everything. And she came back poor. Naomi had experienced some severe hardships. She left Israel married, safe, secure. She returns widowed and poor. Now, there's a key here that Naomi was not rejecting God by openly expressing her pain, but it did seem like she lost sight of who was with her, that Ruth was with her, and that God was with her every step of the way. You know, isn't that true in life? Sometimes when we go through challenging moments in life, we tend to think that you know what, God's not with us, or the people that really love us and care for us, we forget about those people, right? And that's what was happening here. God was moving in her life without her noticing. That's what's so beautiful about that last song that James was singing, right? Waymaker. Even though we don't see him, he's moving, right? So many times in life, I'm so thankful for Jesus in my life. I don't know where I'd be without him. See, when we face hardships and pain and even bitter times, that God actually welcomes our honesty. God actually welcomes our honesty. God wants to hear the things in our heart. He wants to hear the pains because he cares. He's compassionate for us. But he also places in us enough love and strength to get through whatever we're facing. Right? He shows us love by sending his son Jesus here on earth, right? To die on the cross for us. And the story isn't over, just like the story of these women. You know, we need to try not to let bitterness and disappointment blind us from moving forward. This has happened for me, you know, multiple times where, you know, you can focus on the bad things and not tend to move forward. And Ruth is inspiring, right? She had the right to be bitter, but she chose to be better. She had the right to be bitter, but she chose to be better. What do you think Ruth was thinking here when she's hearing, oh, I don't want to be called Naomi, call me Mara because I am bitter, right? What does it say that she couldn't stand her? No, she just kept on loving and serving. These are great examples of what a true friend or companion can be, things that we can desire as characteristics in our heart in 2022. Ruth is inspiring. See, Ruth and Naomi's return to Bethlehem was certainly part of God's plan because in this town, David would be born. Because Ruth was a great-grandmother of David. And as predicted by the prophet Micah, who else would be born there? Jesus. This move was much more than convenience. It led to the fulfillment of Scripture. And here's where the story gets more positive. Ruth ends up meeting Boaz, a farm owner. Let's read in chapter 2 here. And titled, Ruth Gleans in Boaz's Field. Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in the field belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. And she didn't know this at the time. And while she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. Just imagine this guy, Boaz, when he shows up to the workplace. "The Lord be with you." How many of you have bosses like that? Right? Yeah. Good job, Kirsten. "The Lord bless you." And then Boaz asked his, "And in return, the Lord bless you," the harvesters replied. That sounds like us too, right, Kirsten? Yeah, that's good. Then Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" So he notices her and starts to ask questions about her. And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters, and she has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter. Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in the field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know that everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here as complete strangers." What kindness Boaz showed, am I right? These verses show how God was in control. It said, "Let me go," in verse 2, "to the fields and pick up the leftover grain." Ruth here is an alien, not from outer space, a young, vulnerable woman who alone in the harvest fields, just trying to pick up the scraps, just trying to pick up stuff to help feed her and her mother-in-law. And under the law of Moses, it instructed that landowners to leave what the harvesters left behind to help feed those that were poor, the aliens, the widows, the fatherless, who could glean from the harvest. In verse 3, it says, "As it turned out," and this, there was a divine providence, right? Who does Ruth end up working alongside? Boaz. Boaz offers to help Ruth with food, water, protection. And Ruth shares, "Why do I have such favor in your eyes?" And verse 11, "I've been told how you treated your mother-in-law." Ruth's commitment to care for her mother-in-law is the center thought of this book. He notices these admirable qualities that Ruth had. Right? Hardworking, loving, kindness, faithful, and brave. And Boaz goes over and above the requirements of the law to make sure Ruth's labor was abundantly productive by leaving her with extra food. In verse 19, we read along, her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked today was with Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said. Big change here from Naomi, right? The Lord bless him. "He has not stopped showing his kindness and to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our closest relative. He is the one of our guardian redeemers." That's a key there I'll be referring to in a bit. Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain." When she comes to Naomi, she was very pleased to hear that Boaz had reached out to her in kindness. It couldn't have happened to a better person, am I right? And this term of kinsman redeemer is quite interesting. Or in other texts, it says family redeemer or guardian redeemer. And the sense of redemption is so important in this text. The kinsman redeemer was responsible for the protecting the interests of needy members of the extended family. Here, Naomi is encouraged when she hears that the Lord had led Ruth to the fields of Boaz, who could serve as the family kinsman redeemer. Boaz, a relative of Naomi on Elimelech's side, acted upon his duty to the Mosaic law to redeem an impoverished relative from his or her circumstance, right? This scenario is repeated by Christ, who redeems us, the spiritually impoverished, saves us from sin. By being our Redeemer, he makes us his kinsmen. The sovereignty of our great God is shown throughout the story of Ruth. See, even though Naomi had felt bitter, her faith in God was very much alive. She praised God for Boaz's kindness to Ruth. In her sorrow, she still trusted God and acknowledged his goodness. That's a life, that's a good life lesson for us. Do you feel bitter today? Maybe Christmas, those that are with us online. Has Christmas been a challenging time for you? Is there something that maybe is going on with family that has made us, that has made this time difficult? See, even though Ruth may not have realized God's guidance for her, that he was with her every step of the way, that God brought her to this new land to flourish, and she was obedient in staying with Naomi. She went to go glean the field owned by Boaz, and gleaning wasn't, it was a pretty sad job. It was embarrassing, but it happened to be for a close family relative. This was much more than a coincidence. This was part of God's plan. So we should have faith that God is leading and directing our life for his purpose. It's a very good reminder that when we don't understand our present times and things that are happening, that God is there directing us because he's got a great plan for our life. In 2022, he's got a great plan for our church. He's got a great plan for your family. Ruth 3 and 4 is a good read, and you could take a look at it later. And you'll notice how Ruth follows Naomi's plan and how Ruth and Boaz eventually become married. So let's go back to this top 10 list. And what comparisons do you notice here that fit along with this scripture? That friends are so valuable. Friends are so valuable. Ruth was so valuable to Naomi. And even though Naomi tries to push Ruth aside, Ruth fought it. And later, Boaz shows this kindness, this friendship. And what friends can we be valuable today to? What friends in our life can we be valuable to today, this year, 2022? Can you think of somebody in your life that you can be valuable like Ruth was? Maybe not living with them or moving with them, but how can you provide for them and serve them this year? Next one is everyone is going through something. Naomi loses her family, but also Ruth loses her family, her husband, and comfortable surroundings. And she decides to serve and to love her mother-in-law. And I know Miracle on Your Street is over, but there's still opportunities that we can still provide small miracles to the people around us, those in the Comox Valley or those in our family. Third, growth can be uncomfortable, can't it? Naomi had everything and lost it. Ruth lost everything, but she doesn't dwell on it. She serves and loves during her grief. Isn't growth so challenging at times? Growth can be so challenging at times. At times, I just hate having growth moments, right? Knowing that there's something in my life that I need to change. And just doing my best to change it, right? Sometimes it's just really hard to admit that there's something not right in your heart or life. Next one, we all grieve differently and about different things. Naomi grieved hard. Ruth grieved by caring and loving. How can we care and love others? People need each other. We need each other. We need community. Naomi needed Ruth, and Ruth needed Naomi. Wherever you go, I will go. You know, it's not a fluke that people have struggled with lack of community. We are all created to be in community with Him, right? We are all created to be in community with each other, with others. And decide where you want to spend your time. Ruth wanted to spend her time caring for Naomi, providing and serving for her. In 2022, where do you want to spend your time? Where do you want to spend your time? What's important? What's valuable? How can I serve better? How can I love better? Is there room for the lost? Is there room for those that don't know Jesus? What matters? That matters. To be compassionate. Ruth was so compassionate in all her grief. Boaz showed compassion for this Moabite woman who cared for his family member. We as a church should care for each other. We should care for our community. And I believe we do. But how can we be more of a compassionate people in 2022? I really tried to put the pet comment in this, but I just couldn't find a place for pets. I love this quote, and I'm going to close in this quote. Ruth in the Bible went from gleaning in the field to owning the field. Think about that. She went from gleaning, being in the worst possible situation, to owning the field. Don't underestimate how fast God can turn things around. I just love that. Don't underestimate how fast God can move. God can do things. No matter what you're facing in 2021, God's with you every step of the way. He's got big plans in your life. As we think about these points, these 7 or 8 points that I mentioned, is there maybe one or two that kind of sticks out, or maybe there's something in the message that has stuck out at you, something that's kind of piercing your heart? You know, does God want me to be more compassionate? Are we a compassionate people? Where do we want to spend our time? How can we bring more of a joy in the community that we're a part of? How can we bring more encouragement this year? How can we help those that are going through grief? How can we be better friends this year? Let's just take 30 seconds, and I just want you just to kind of just to talk to God. Just to have this time to just think about what was said. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those that are here this morning, those that are online. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are so compassionate to us, Lord. There are so many times in our life we mess up. We do things that we're not proud of, but Lord, that you are there with open arms. Lord, help us to follow you more in 2022. Lord, that we'd be more of a compassionate people. Lord, that we would be an open ear to those that are grieving. Lord, that we would desire encouraging community. Lord, that we would love our communities more. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for this book. We thank you for these, thank you for this example of Ruth, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that even though we don't know why things happen, but Lord, that you'd encourage us and show us that you know, and that your paths are better than our paths. Amen. You are the way maker. That is who you are. Lord, that you are with us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you guide us this rest of the holidays. Lord, you pray for safety for those that will be traveling on roads. Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord, this morning. Lord, keep on speaking into our hearts, Lord. Guide us. And Lord, thank you so much for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's ending a celebratory song. And what Pastor Mike even said, you can swing your elbow around, maybe nudge your, you know, wake your neighbor up. And then after the song, you are dismissed, all right? Thank you for being with us.
Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Father, this blessed angel came when unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort. Oh, yes, now behold him arise. the King and God went sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, worshiping God Most High. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. For showing your beautiful half faces. And enjoy the snow, the cold weather. Remember, next week is one service again, 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.